WBEN, Buffalo, New York.
Go, the man said. Hawaii, the old redhead. Seems like old times.
Getting closer. Get
him. I'll get it yet before I go. All those who have honored me all the years with their imitations so flattering. Hawaii. You did of old times, haven't you? To walk with.
Hey, you got it.
Not quite.
Irma Bombeck, June Valley, Richard Hayes, the Godfrey men with Jerry Alters. I ask you, dear ladies, and you, Richard, what would you do if you got a note from that lovely Wilma on top of the California Prunes commercial saying, Mr. Godfrey, would you please add to the California Prune commercial the words, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited?
Ladies, would you like to answer that?
No, I wouldn't.
Ladies, go first.
Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot.
I just will not do it. I am a law-abiding citizen. I will attend to that later, and in the place provided. Richard, I'd like you to open the program properly.
I thought everything was groovy in my own little world. Now I find my eyes were closed until the day I met that girl. But the moment I caught sight of her, the light of her, the bright of her, I could see she would be the most beautiful thing in my life. Where she walks, the earth is greener, and the clouds all run away. And she brings a little sunshine to everybody's day. You know, every time she's close to me, she glows to me, a rose to me. A shining star she is by far. The most beautiful thing in my life. And when she gives me a smile or a touch, who'd ever think little things mean so much? Yesterday belongs to someone else. Today belongs to me. Yes, it's my turn now at last to know how sweet a love can be. It's a thrilling love, a chilling love, an ever warm, fulfilling love. And in good time she will be mine. The most beautiful thing in my life, the most beautiful girl in my life.
Ah, that's nice, Richard. That's beautiful. All the time he was singing, I was so entranced with his voice that I read a chapter of your book, Irma.
When you got it, flaunt it.
Like a sedative, isn't it?
Irma Bombeck with Bill Keane. Just wait till you have children of your own.
You know, while I was singing that song, I also read a chapter of her book.
You sure did. It's my house, said my husband, and I don't know why you and I are cooped up here in our bedroom like prisoners. And Irma answers, because our teenagers are giving a party. Now I know how parents felt in Germany in World War II when their kids turned them into the Gestapo for watching Hogan's Heroes. You'd think they were ashamed of us. They are, she said. Now be still and play the game. Do you want to buy Park Avenue or not? I don't know why you couldn't handle the group yourself, he sniffed. I told you I'm going through my postnatal depression. Listen, you've been going through that for the last 15 years. Besides, I wanted to be at Kiwanis tonight. They're showing a movie, Birth of a Ball Bearing, with no scenes censored. It won't hurt you to play father for one evening. Well, how many kids are supposed to come? It's not definite. Anywhere from 12 to 300. It depends on how the word has spread. Oh, that's just wonderful. You know about the party. I know about the party. The New York Times knows about the party. But does Ben Grauer know? Probably. I'm a fool for asking. But what do you feed all those people? We don't. We just back up a truck of soft drinks and open up drums of potato chips and pretzels. What time is it? 5 minutes before 11. I got 5 minutes before I put on my baggy sweater and walk through the room looking like Fred McMurray, huh? Oh, you'll do fine. I feel like a fool, he mumbled. What do I do if I see somebody dancing too close? If they're dancing too close, they're engaged. All the others dance alone. Do I look all right? You look fine. Remember now, under no circumstances are you to smile at your own children or give a clue that you live here. Just amble through and make sure everything is going smoothly. I'll roll the dice for you while you're gone. He came back in 20 minutes. His shoulders sagged, his mouth was drawn, and his eyes haunting and searching. Well, how are things going? I asked. Would you believe there's a drummer in our living room who is a King Kong lookalike? Yes, pay community chest $50. And do you know where the wood box is on the porch? Well, there's a Volkswagen parked next to it. You own two utilities now and one railroad. And there's a wild, red-haired kid talking with Defense Secretary Melvin Laird on our telephone. You just passed go, dear. Collect $200. It's not enough, he said, cowering in the corner. Not beautiful. The family that plays together, says Emma, gets on each other's nerves. That's a sample of Irma Bombeck's book, Just Wait Till You Have Children of Your Own.
It's nice of you to give that such
a... Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
I don't have to sell it door to door.
Good morning, madam. I'm selling books. I'm working my way through a household.
I'm supporting an orthodontist in Palm Beach. That's what I'm doing.
I'll tell you this, you look slimmer and younger.
Oh, come on.
You do, really?
I have not lost any weight.
Well, okay, you've adjusted it then.
I really have. Well, I buy more expensive dresses and they're cut full.
No, I said that to her. I said, you look like you lost weight. She said, I haven't lost a pound.
I went to Weight Watchers. I really tried. I went to Weight Watchers. It's like an obese show and tell. It was the most incredible experience ever. I went in and I took my mother with me, and we went in, and this woman said, I think I know who you are. She said, do you want me to call you, you know, by any other name? And I said, yes, I want you to call me Eric Severard. this crazy lady, I mean, she'd say, Miss Severard, do you want to tell us? You know, it was a fun. Incredible place.
Well, I remember a couple of months ago, I was sitting across the street at Morgan's, and the guy came up, he said, Hey. Yeah. He says, you're Arthur Godfrey. I said, I'm not. And he was with this beautiful blonde lady. She was gorgeous. And she said, oh, don't tell me. You're Arthur Godfrey. And I always said that if ever I would meet Arthur Godfrey, I'd hug him and I'd kiss him and I'd kiss him and I'd hug him. And I said, seems like
oh. I knew that.
Hello, you.
Look out, there's a blonde at the door.
I never know what to do when they say that. You know, I'm real embarrassed by it. You know, this one woman came up when I'd moved out to Phoenix in a shoe department, and she came up and she said, "Are you?" And I said, "Loretta Young, wrong." I felt like a fool, you know. And then I felt rotten because I'd said that, because, you know.
Because Loretta Young will sue. But you have a lot of celebrities out where you are.
Yes.
I read where Dickie moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hugh Downs.
Hugh Downs, right.
Hugh Downs, yes. I didn't talk to him. I sent word for him that I'd like to see him, but Mal Lentz's secretary said that Hughes' secretary had called her. So that's as close as I got to him.
But the secretary's had lunch, I understand.
I wanted to see what it was like to be retired. Only he retired. I didn't. I'm not. But he's going to come back. He'll be back in. He's doing the same thing I'm doing, working for Mr. Ecology.
Yes.
I would like to do a little something in an ecological vein today, such as ask June Valley to come and recycle a song for us.
Hey, that's cute. Did you just make that up?
I just made it up, just out of my head.
That's great.
Rock-a-bye, my baby, with a Dixie melody. When you croon, come on and croon a tune from the heart of Dixie. Just hang that cradle, mammy mine, along that Mason-Dixon line, and swing it from Virginia, Tennessee. Love in you. If no more, my lady, sing that song again for me. I said soft and low, just as though you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'm gonna deliver.
That is marvelous. You remember a song called Mammy?
Yes.
Mammy, yes. The sun shines east and the sun shines west. And I got soup all over my vest.
That's the way it goes.
No? Did you see Elizabeth Taylor the other night, Irma, when she was on with David Frost?
No.
Oh, you missed the greatest. David had Elizabeth, and then later on Dick Burton came. And first they were together for a little while, and then Elizabeth left, and Richard was by himself with David. I loved that. Didn't you see that?
No. You told me about it.
You couldn't keep me up for anybody except folks just like that. The two greatest in the business, that's all. They just have to be the greatest.
His voice, I love to listen to him speak. And then she's so beautiful.
Oh, but not only beautiful, honey. She was more than beautiful. She was all woman. She was intelligent.
There's something to her.
Oh.
Yeah. She has some depth to her.
Did she talk about her just turning 40? I guess that was it.
Yes, and David asked Richard after she'd gone. While they were there, that's right. He said, everyone said your marriage would fall on its face. Why hasn't it? It's now 8 years. And Dick said, I think there's a little more to it, you know, there should be, than just physical attraction. And he looked up like, you know, the way he does. And Elizabeth just blushed a little. And then he said, besides that, you have to like each other. I like Elizabeth immensely. Do you like me? And she looked up and said, yes. It was so cute. Oh, boy, what wonderful people. Hey, another great guy, Harold Dumont. He is opening in a Broadway show.
Hey, great.
This month. It says here, The Wonder of His Presence, a Langston Hughes musical adventure. His co-star is Diana Sands. Does anyone know the progress of this thing? The Wonder of His Presence, a Langston Hughes musical adventure with Diana Sands, co-starring with Harold Dumont. I wish somebody would tell me. I haven't read about it. Richard, how would you like to sing one by yourself?
I did.
This time?
Yeah, but you didn't hear it because you were reading...
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I wasn't paying attention. I was reading that thing. Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's wonderful to be wanted and needed.
People who need people.
Are you going to play the banjo?
You're darn children. Just for that crack.
May I have the book, then?
The second favorite instrument.
Let's do Fidgety Feet. Gives me about 8 bars solo in A flat. And I'll play it in F, and we'll all be doing something. I love these tunes we play where it changes keys. Dang, it shows my versatility. Is that showing again?
Thank you.
Do one more chorus. I got two pages left.
Isn't that a great book, Tom?
Yeah, the cartoons are cute. Really cute.
I didn't draw the cartoons.
No, I know. I know. We love your writing, but I'm saying the cartoons are cute.
Let me see you get out of that one, huh?
How come Bill Keane spells his name with one L?
It's his name,
He's got
huh?
a story about that. Oh. Some editor knocked the L out of it.
Ah! I heard that about Kelly.
Yeah, all right.
If you knock the L out of Kelly, he will knock the L out of you. Or something like that.
Where's my straw hat?
Let me see. What time is it? Have we got time? Yes, we have time. Let me give you a little bit of this. Not much, just a little. You know what means CAT in aviation? C-A-T, CAT? Yeah. Clear air turbulence. CAT. You're flying along and it's beautiful and clear out there and you're very high and all of a sudden you get the... Boy, you get shook up. Which is why when you are riding in an airliner, an airplane at any time, or an automobile for that matter, keep your belt fastened at all times. Everybody does, even when the sign is off. If you've got any brains in your head at all, you keep your belt on, except when you have to get up and go somewheres. Because sometimes we know when the stuff is coming and sometimes we don't. This appeared in a newsletter which Bruce Whitman of Flight Safety Incorporated at LaGuardia Airport sent to me. Flight Safety is the greatest flying school in America, in my opinion. But Lee Ariel put this together, a brief litany in verse form comprising some rules of thumb for avoiding clear air turbulence that my pilot friends might appreciate. I ask you to bear with me for a minute. I think you'll get a gag out of it yourself, get a kick out of it yourself. Pause for a while, my ungoggled friend, and read this tortured verse. 'Twill not assure your flying well, nor make it any worse. Before you brave the upper air in your shiny, speedy kite, peruse the charts with jaundiced eye to confirm that all is right. To aid in map analysis and avoid mental paralysis, or perhaps to help you keep your cool, we offer herewith the number one rule. Jet streams stronger than 110 knots should arouse your trepidation. At the surrounding front and tropopause, there may be agitation. With no more adieu, here's rule number two. The weatherman on pressure progs the isotox doth sketch. If they are closer than 60 miles... your passengers may retch. As soon as my wits a rhyme can contrive, we'll offer you rules 3, 4, and 5. Vertical wind shear doth turbulence bring more than 5 knots, and it's an almost sure thing. A corollary to number 3 is a matter of degree. If isotherms each 5 degrees are closer than 120 miles, your concern may not show on your handsome face. But will it be wreathed in smiles? Rule 4 will seldom bore. Jet streams that curve around a deep pressure trough will never permit fastened seat belts off. Of the final thought on weather maps, I shall not you deprive. So herewith, not too lengthily, is chart rule number 5. Sharp wind shift areas of troughs aloft are rumored to be rough, and that rather oft. Ridges, so they tell us, one should determine to eschew. If the going's been rather rough and you cry, hold, enough, hold course and speed for 5 rules more on some safe procedure lore. If turbulence is forecast or reported rather near, don't wait until you see it. Remember, it may be clear. Slow to the speed for penetration or its equivalent in Mach at the first significant ripple or perhaps resounding knock. If jet stream chop is encountered with winds on head or tail, a change in course or level may make serenity prevail. When jet crosswinds bring their turbulence that's not of tea your cup, if the temperature is rising, 'tis your clue to climb right up. If the temperature is falling and 'tis heaven you would forfend, then the recommended action is slowly to descend. If it's a trough you're meeting, a change in level will not age. Cruise a course across the trough and leave the whole charade. And so, matter-of-factly and perhaps a trifle anticlimactically, we finally arrive at procedure number 5. If it's a sloping tropopause you're crossing and rather not be tossing, then 'tis the temperature you should be viewing for the troposphere renewing. Where it's coldest is the line. After passage, you'll be fine. All clear as Greek to you?
No. What's a tropopause, Zazas?
The tropopause, that is the place where the adiabatic change rate in temperature stops.
The adiabatic change rate?
And it becomes constant. In the...
I know what constant. What's antibiotic?
Adiabatic. Adiabatic. When it is in the wintertime, it's sometimes down within 30 thousandths of feet. In the summertime, it goes on up into the 40s, where you keep climbing and the temperature goes down about 1 degree for every... or 3 degrees for every 1,000 feet, something like that. And you keep doing that until you get up to 34,000, 35,000 in the wintertime, and then all of a sudden you find the temperature no longer goes down. It remains the same, about 60 below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And in the summertime, that'll be a little higher sometimes, 45,000 feet. And it's anywhere in there, about where that tropopause is, where the pause of the troposphere is. That's what that means. That's generally where we encounter the jet streams which cause all that clear air turbulence. That's all for today, boys. He who puts his plane away lives to fly another day. Good evening.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
You're listening to WBEN 930 Radio in Buffalo.